Tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
Custom magic items.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
custom magic items.
Custom magic items.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we've done a lot of different episodes on custom things, how to be able to craft your own world, custom cities,
sure.
Custom monsters, or some ridiculous ones at least.
Yeah.
And we felt it was time to do an episode specifically on not any particular items per se, but how to add mo' flavor to your magic items.
And when and why.
Yeah, that's perfectly rational as well. Why should you create custom magic items instead of using, you know, the ones that are currently out of whatever book you happen to be reading
right.
for your game? But before we get to that point, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, clearly we're doing question of the week.
Yes, that's absolutely.
We're going to do.
Okay, so let's get to this question of the week because I'm ready.
All right.
I've got an answer prepared. I don't even know what the question is yet.
So, you know, I try, if I can, to keep the questions on theme. This week's question is going to be on theme.
Wonderful.
It's in the room you're currently in.
So, our studio.
Yes. Pick a random item and make it magical.
Oh, my God.
What's the item and what does it do?
There's like a billion items in this room.
Yeah.
It could be anything. I mean, it could be the Spider Jerusalem Transmetropolitan thing behind you.
It could.
Or any of the monsters that I've created.
Could be the Dalek on the wall over there.
Could be the Dalek on the wall. Could be any of the fantasy creatures I have. But just because he's staring at me with knowing smile.
Yes.
I'm going to have to say my 3-foot Godzilla statue that I have behind you.
I am shocked.
And he's going to be a figurine of wondrous power.
Yes.
And much like the, I can't remember her name, from the Power Rangers, you know, the lady that made the monsters?
Rita.
Rita, yes. Much like Rita from the Power Rangers, I will throw him to the ground and be like, let my monster grow! And it will turn into a life-size Godzilla and stomp shit. That's it. That's all it does.
That's it. It only turns into a real Godzilla, that's all?
It just turns into Godzilla and stuff wrecking.
All right.
Your turn.
My brain went to something a little more functional.
That's fine.
Well, I mean, in fairness, that's super functional, but a different sort of functional.
It's a singular purpose to clear city blocks.
I mean, it has a function, but what I was thinking was the computer.
Okay.
Yes. And you know what its magical power is?
Oh, God. Is it a computer?
No, no.
No? Okay. That was a Pierre Anthony.
Yes.
Pun there.
No, no. It is a computer of editing.
Okay.
It simply performs the edits that you tell it to perform.
To what end?
So that you no longer have to edit audio and upcoming video.
Oh, that's a hell
it
of
just
a...
it performs editing.
That's I would love that. That's much more practical than anything I would ever come up with when it comes to a magic item.
Sure. But it was literally the first thing. I was like, you know what would be awesome was if we could just sit down, ramble for hours on end, and the computer does the editing for us.
You know what kind of magic item that's actually called? It's called
Legendary.
It's called Summon Intern. That's what we need. It's really just an intern we can summon to edit all of the shit that we spout out of our heads. I like that magic item, though. I think that's a wonderful one. Do you have a magic item that you particularly fancy or would like to create? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can talk to me, Eric, @goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt, @goblinscorner.com.
And you can find us all over the web. Go Google us.
Yep. You can definitely hit us up on Twitter. That's where we're probably most likely to
answer. That's a good point. Yes.
Answer.
We have also a Twitch account now.
We do.
I've been doing some rather shaky builds.
Right.
And doing a little bit of a paint along, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll probably be doing a little leisure alchemy on there shortly.
Oh, yes. And I will probably be there drinking the Leisure Alchemy. That's much like how you can help paint some, I can help drink lots.
That's true.
And I don't know if I can mix this. Well, I could probably mix a couple drinks, but...
You can definitely mix some, but you can also let me, you know, give me some flavor notes.
Oh, that is true.
Because a lot of what I make are very specific concepts, and, you know, occasionally I come up with things that are definitely polarized ideas. They are love 'em or hate 'em drinks.
You really would be an alchemist in a fantasy role-playing game.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Easily. Or an adventurer, i.e. bartender. Okay, let's get to the matter at hand here. So, we mentioned custom magic items. Why would you ever customize your magic items? Now, this is, some people were like, duh, because it's a role-playing game and you customize everything, but there's a lot of people who don't customize anything, right? They go straight out of the book.
Yep.
And it could be for many reasons, right? You may not be able to improvise that kind of conceptualization. You may not have the time to do that.
Right.
And if either of those are the case, we've got some stuff that can help you now.
Sure.
So first off, there's something about adding a magic item that fits your game that really gives, you know, whatever you're playing a kind of a personal touch. And this is something that Matt and I have done over the years ad nauseum. I mean, I came up with the planar bicycle built for 12. Yeah.
Yep.
Or the balloons that you inflate and
for levitation.
Yeah. Yes. I've come up with those as well. You've got a ton of them.
I have an entire building full of custom magic items.
It's about the doorbells that shoot a lightning bolt. It's about this big, but it's damn impressive.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yep. The Mad Enchanter's castle. It's still up there kicking around in my brain.
It's going to be waiting
for some sucker to open the door.
It's going to be a written book someday.
I've knocked out the first three floors of it.
Oh, that's good.
Written.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's yeah. Really good.
It's
okay.
Not all in my head anymore. It's actually on paper in places now.
So personal flavor or personal touch to your game, whatever game you're playing, right? Whether it's
right.
White Wolf, and we talk about magic items, this could be something technological as well.
Sure.
But Shadowrun has magic items.
Yeah.
Like different fetishes and stuff like that. Trying to think of some other games. Ars Magica has a bunch of magic items.
Sure. Any fantasy setting obviously has its own magic items. But when you go, the old saying, any significantly advanced
technology is indistinguishable from magic. Yeah. You could easily, if you're in a futuristic setting, replace magic with science.
Sure.
And that would be easy. So, yeah, customized magic items are great because it adds a little bit of that flavor. Yeah. In addition to that, most books have decent magic items in most games, but there's some games, and I said I wouldn't shit on anybody's favorite game, so I'm not even going to name it, but it's a game that a lot of people play.
Yes.
And the magic items fucking suck. I'm just going to say it. They suck. They're boring. They're not named very well. Or they have taken really interesting magic items and over the years watered them down to something that's boring. And I'm all about that flavor.
Yeah.
I got to have it.
I would like to see the return of the appendices of magical items found in certain editions of certain very popular games.
Yes, it was a several book series, if I recall. Yeah, right next to the multitudes of spells that are currently on my shelf from that edition as well.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed. So that's another reason why you might want some custom magic items.
And part of it is, depending on when you began playing certain games, any games, honestly, there used to be a great deal of time, effort, and story devoted into crafting magic items, and now it's more of a people expect to have them available, so we're going to make sure they're in there kind of scenario. And they're like you said, they've gotten watered down to the point where they're all very vanilla, and there's certainly a place for vanilla, but it is not the only place.
Now, I have a theory about this. In many previous editions of certain games, and this includes other games from the ones that we're, you know,
clearly pointing out.
Yeah. There was this philosophy of some people are better than others. So I'll give you a good example. In third edition D&D, who won? What was a tier zero?
What?
Spell to Power Erudite, of course. But right. But also druids were tier one. Wizards. Pretty much wizards, right?
A properly played cleric,
I will argue as well, would also be a tier one or a tier zero, depending upon what, you know, feats you took. But a lot of those, one of the things I liked about lots of magic items is you could take any old schmuck, commoner level 10.
Yep.
With the right magic items, he could take down that tier one or tier zero if you had the gear.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the lines,
a commoner, and you know, even a base level commoner, or not first level, but let's say a fifth level commoner versus a fifth level mage,
mm-hmm.
with two magic items, the commoner will murder that mage,
so long as he's able to cast them with the magic items.
Sticky paste, and any item that makes anti-magic.
Fair enough.
You sticky paste anti-magic to the mage, and then you club him like a baby seal, and you're the winner.
Yeah. Now, I personally enjoy this kind of world because it's the great equalizer.
Right.
However, in remaking many of these games, a lot of people are like, well, we should give every single class the ability to basically get a trophy for its own. And sure. So it became less of a focus on how you geared your character up and how you added certain feats or certain styles, and more on all of the characters are more well-balanced. Now, this is not a bad thing. And right. If it sounds like I'm saying it's a bad thing, it's not. It's a totally acceptable way to play a game. But what was lost is the whole gear aspect of having stuff.
Sure.
The magic mart. I like a magic mart. And then again, we play with a lot of high fantasy games when we do play fantasy games.
Sure.
And even when we play sci-fi stuff, we generally, you know, load me up with some cyberware, chummer, or some BioWare. I mean, I had a whole character called Homegrown that was built on just BioWare.
Right.
Because, I guess maybe because I'm a pack rat, given all of the crap that's currently in my room, and you, for that matter, are the right tool for the job type of person as well. The right tool for the job happens to be magic items, which is why I want to add more flavor back to those magic items.
And if nothing else, I need one magic item that allows me to hold every non-magic item that I need.
Yes. Now, in addition to that, many of the magic items in previous editions were terrible.
Sure.
Now, some of them had some flavor,
right.
But no one ever used them. And this is another reason why many of the magic items were taken out of future editions.
It's the reason why the Wand of Wonders aren't in 5th edition.
Right. Because, or what is it, the Robe of Useless
useful,
item?
Useful, well, Robes the, of Useful and Robe of Useless if it's cursed.
Yeah, I like the cursed items too. That's another thing, you don't see many cursed items as well.
Not very many.
But played properly, you could take any magic item and own it.
Yeah.
If it just takes a little bit of, you know, a little bit of tinkering sometimes. There were way too many over-specialized items. That was another thing. Only, sure. You know, how many things that could only be used by a dwarf and no one's playing a dwarf.
Right.
Or on the other half of the equation, maybe there are only one or two things that other character classes or races could play, you know. There's three magic items for lizard men or something like that.
Right.
And you know, you're playing a lizard man. Maybe that's your thing. You're like, you know, you got some lizard man love.
Right.
And you're like, I want to tailor my magic items. Well, you could go generic, but that's up to the DM. And sometimes certain DMs and GMs didn't interpret that way.
Right.
So that was another reason why magic items were taken out of the equation. And finally, and this is most likely the real reason, goes back to what you were talking about with, you know, the two magic items to stop a wizard. they were ripe for abuse.
Sure. You and I actually have two different examples of that. Yours is the portable hole.
You can do anything with the portable hole.
And even well beyond the portable hole for third edition, especially, well, 3.5, was the Candle of Invocation.
Yes. Now, the portable hole, we had characters who had Jarn, is it Dejarns or Jarns? I can't remember. It starts with DJ. Dejarns Instant Fortress.
Oh, yeah.
They shuck.
It's Dairns.
Dairns?
D-E-A.
I thought it had a J in it. Oh, whatever. Anyhow, they would chuck the Instant Fortress into the portable hole, and now they had a moat.
Sure.
Just lock it down. Another fun thing you can do with a portable, well, I mean, there's multiple things you could do with a portable hole, but one of them was cast an illusion over the portable hole so that people would fall 10 feet.
And then you just close it.
And you just close it. You carry
it
off.
Take them with you.
Yeah. Yeah, stick them in there. It's ice cold.
The other thing you do is you just collect multiple portable holes and you put the bottom of one and the bottom of the next one and the bottom of the next one.
Interestingly enough, 5th edition fixed that whole thing. Remember in 2nd edition, if you put a bag of holding inside a portable hole or vice versa, it would cause a rift into the astral plane?
It does in 5th edition as well.
It does in 5th edition again. I don't remember 4th edition because we never really bothered to learn much about 4th. But I do know in 3rd, they didn't have that anymore. And all these shenanigans happened.
However, it's always been specified a bag of holding in a portable hole. Or a haversack in a portable hole. A portable hole in a portable hole just gives you 10 extra foot of depth.
That's like a magic item inception.
Yes. In fact, you could make your own dungeon.
Just out of portable holes.
Just out of portable holes.
We got a new thing to write up now. Good job, man.
I'm here to help. for a given value of help.
So there's a lot of reasons why custom magic items have gone, but there's also a lot of reasons why we should bring back a little bit of interest in these magic items. Yeah, they were boring for the most part because when they wrote them back in, they stripped out a lot of the storyline. Probably for legal reasons.
Sure.
But also because reasons.
Right.
So we have given you several ground rules for magic items. And Matt, I believe you've got a couple right off the bat.
Yes. Making a custom magic item should be done to enhance storytelling, i.e. that magic item is tied to the actual narrative in some way.
Okay.
It should be used to enhance a character's tie into the story, i.e. if you've got a character that just desperately wants a sonic boomerang, right?
Okay.
A thundering boomerang. Well, turns out there's not a thundering boomerang, right?
But there could be.
But there could be. You already have rules for flaming weapons. You change the damage type, and if you're worried about it being overpowerful because of the fact that, you know, thunder is less resisted than fire, then you drop it from a D6 to a D4, you call it a day.
Yep.
It's super simple, but now that character has something that is theirs. It's a very unique item that clearly they most likely have the only one of. And it's some character agency that doesn't do anything to the actual power level of the game.
Or minor buffs, at least.
Right. But what I mean is, if I give them a flaming brand versus giving them a sonic boomerang, right, the overall power level does not change at all.
Correct.
It is simply something flavored for them.
But I like what you said, because it really should enhance the story or the character playing the story. Because remember, everybody who's currently running a game, this is a game.
Yes.
That is based off of pretend. I want to stress this, because I know, because I read the forums. I've been on optimization builds. I've heard it all. And everyone's like, oh, well, you get this, 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 and this will break the game. It's a fucking game, guys. and we're playing pretend. If it enhances the story and your character's enjoyment, do it.
Sure.
If so long as it's not like world ending, and even then, run it. Consequence of actions, baby.
Yeah. Just if they're working on something world ending, give them hints, portents, omens, that sort of thing. But end of the day, if they want to make a volcano seed, and you know,
we have a volcano seed in my last campaign.
Yes. And it was planted in a terrible place at a terrible point in time. And as far as I know, those repercussions are still in the air.
Matt's grinning at me, but it's because I will literally come up with magic items on the fly at random. And it's usually because I forget certain magic items that are in the book. Or sometimes I just turn around and go, you know, this sounds like an interesting thing to give them.
Sure.
I've given you broken pieces of magic items and you have to fit them together and make a magic item.
Yep.
We've had body parts that happen to be magic items. And then, of course, the fire rat gun at one point. That was so weird. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to Stupid Monsters and you'll understand. Magic items should be flavorful.
Yes.
Again, plain old magic item. And part of this is because if it's not interesting enough to the characters, they're not going to want to play it.
Right.
A magic item, what's the difference between something that gives me a slight bonus to a character optimization that gives me a slight bonus? It's the reason that you and I will often take flavor bonuses when we're making our characters versus numerical bonuses.
I just need to be able to speak Illithid.
Like, yeah.
I need to speak.
Because that might be more interesting to you playing your character than that plus one.
Yep.
Now, numerically, and we have many of our friends who are completely opposite of that. They're like, no, I'm going to take the numeric one. It just makes more sense mathematically. That's great. There's a lot of people that play, because this is a role-playing game,
right,
that want those flavorful options. So if you have a magic item, make it interesting. Make it flavorful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point? Don't make it boring. First off, no one's going to play it. And it should not duplicate anything currently existing if you can help it, unless there's a flavor reason.
Sure.
So going back to your Firebrand versus Thunderbrand, right?
Right.
I mean, you're duplicating it, yes, but you're making it more flavorful. So I would say that's good.
Well, you know, I will say as far as custom magic items go, for the purposes of flavor, if you're not comfortable creating a magic item, reskin it. Mm-hmm. Right? That should be where you start. If you're not sure whether or not something is going to be too powerful, too weak, whatever, take a magic item, reskin it, and that new magic item is literally the exact same power as the old one, just it now has a new look, a new sound, and everything else.
It also, you know, and this is something that ironically we didn't bother to write down in here, but I just thought of this, is what kind of game are you running? And what I mean by that is, well, let's use some D&D examples. And if you're in the Forgotten Realms, which is high fantasy, high magic,
sure,
but not magic technology per se,
right,
then many of the magic items you're going to have are going to be more of a fanciful nature, right? So you might have like Elminster's pipe, for
sure,
example, even though I think that's a minor artifact now, but it's basically just a floating pipe. It does a lot of more stuff, but you could have a floating pipe.
Sure.
There's nothing to say you can't have that. Whereas if you're in Eberron's a lot more technology, you could easily see modern devices like your cell phone be replaced with a communication stone.
Sure.
Or if you're playing, because I'm reading Ravnica.
Right.
A lot of that stuff is very similar to Eberron, and it has elevators.
Sure.
They're just levitation platforms. So you've gone more utilitarian with that, but they're still flavorful because it's something that applies to that world. Like, I wouldn't see a lot of levitation platforms, say, in the Forgotten Realms. It just doesn't seem like the same, unless you're maybe in Menzoberranzan or something like that. I could see that maybe happening.
But you could also, I mean, at that point, though, the whole concept of counterweights has been around for a very long time.
That is absolutely true. So just think about what your world happens to be. You got a homebrew world where everything's, I don't know, Aztec civilization with magic. Cool. What kind of stuff did they use? How can you make that more magical? You've got some other build where it's like a 1920s noir with magic. What kind of things can fit that flavor? You don't have to use every magic item in that book, whatever book you're using.
Yeah.
Tailor that stuff to your game.
100%.
What are some other ground rules we have for magic items?
A magic item should provide the players with a window into the head of the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So if I present you with a custom magic item, either I am presenting you with something that ties into the storyline in some way,
mm-hmm.
with something that is possibly a necessity, or it is something that is there to provide you with a picture of the world you're in.
So you can use it more of like a storytelling clue or a storytelling guide to lead the characters through your world.
Sure. Or even a set piece. Mm-hmm. If you find a weapon that very much does not fit with what they think is supposed to have happened historically in this place, but it is clearly an ancient weapon. Okay, maybe something's going on here. Maybe this requires a little more investigation.
Sure.
All right. If you found an Aztec weapon in some ruins in New York, that's super strange. And
very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I want to find out more about
that. Yeah, we're going to have to
figure it out. Was it, did someone steal it? Was it there earlier, buried under, you know, New York?
Right. Like, I need to know now.
That's really cool.
But things like that, right? Anytime you make a custom item, it should provide you with a picture of either what's going on in the story, what's going on at the location, or a insight into the world in general.
And it should, and this should probably be tailored differently according to who's running that game. So I tell a story, even though you and I are both chaotic in nature, I tell a story vastly different than the way that you tell a story.
Very true.
And so my magic items tend to be different than the magic items that you come up with versus several of our other friends and people we've played with who may come up with different magic items. And it gives, as you mentioned, gives the players a window into how I run or how you run or how they run.
Sure.
And it's and that's a good thing to do. It's like anything else that's narrative based. You know, you have a different mode of communication when you're telling a story, and your magic items should reflect that. One thing of note is the magic item should provide something beneficial without basically being a pain in the ass. It shouldn't be something that's detrimental in its use. And let me give an example, because I don't know if this makes sense or not, but if it's, for example, a magic item that produces flame, it shouldn't be any harder to use than a flint and tinder. In fact, it probably should be easier to use.
Otherwise, why make it?
Otherwise, exactly. And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be something that is so hard to use that no one is going to use it, because then, so what if it's magic?
Right.
It should provide some benefit to the user. Now, it could be harder to use because it doesn't burn fuel or it lasts forever or something like that. Well, that's a benefit. That's a direct benefit. And therefore, if it takes it 5 or 6 times to start, that's not a huge deal. Also, if it's part of the storytelling or part of your world, then, you know, go back to the whole point about enhancing the storytelling. That's fine if it's a pain in the ass. And there's a lot of examples for that. We've got a couple more ground rules for custom magic items, and we'll get into actually making custom magic items. But first,
we're going to go to break so that you can hear a word from our sponsors.
That's right. We'll be back after this moment.
This episode brought to you by...
Hi, my name's Mike. I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for nearly 40 years now. I absolutely love the game. Over lockdown, I started making some bespoke character journals, for Dungeons & Dragons. So each character class has got its own character sheet within the journal. There's plenty of space for lots and lots of other bits of information, quests, magic items, magic spells, your money, and a really good chunk of it, space for you to journal in. The great guys over at Goblin's Corner have asked me to run this little promo, and I'm really thankful to them. So if you'd like to have a look at the journals that I do, have a Google for MikeHDND.card, CARRD.co, and that would be brilliant. Thank you.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking about ground rules for magic items.
For custom magic items.
For custom magic items.
Right.
And we just mentioned having something be beneficial or provide some kind of benefit without being too detrimental. Now, I want to stress that cursed magic items are lots of fun, and you should definitely throw a curse into some magic items at some point.
Yes.
Because even though I just said it shouldn't be something that is a pain in the ass for the players to use, everything comes at a price. And that's a fun method to storytelling, especially if it's something that's powerful.
Yeah, they need to, for one thing, any character that's like, this sword is the shiniest sword I've ever seen. I'm going to pick it up and start using it before I ever identify it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you live in a world where you know that curses exist. Maybe this is not a wise decision.
And that's what I like about magic items now in 5th edition, specifically artifacts. They have certain things that are beneficial and then certain things that are detrimental, like minor detriments versus major ones.
Sure.
I think that's really cool. I think magic items should have stuff like that. They should be just irritating enough, but they should provide more use than the irritation.
Right. Like the old Weapons of Legend or Legacy.
Yeah. Weapons of Legacy, yes. Yeah.
A cost and a benefit.
So you've got another rule.
I do. Basically, if your characters are not going to use it, they're just going to sell it. Why did you make it? You need to, if you're making a custom magic item that you are going to present to your characters, understand those characters well enough to know that what you're using or what you're making is either going to be used or sold. And if it's going to be sold, make something different.
Yeah. So read your room.
Yeah. If you're playing a super serious game and you've got a bunch of undead hunters that never do anything but kill undead because they're on a vengeance trip and all undead must die, a pogo stick of jumping, probably not going to go over. And in one of our games, pogo stick of jumping is...
I'm all about it.
Yeah, like, where do I sign?
But that comes down to, again, who are you playing this game for?
Right.
Where are you running? You know, it should enhance the storytelling. Now, it might be storytelling that you like, but remember, this is a game that's pretend, played with other people. They are making this story as well, and if they don't like it, they're just going to sell it.
Yeah.
This has happened to me on numerous occasions. I know it's happened to you on numerous occasions as well.
Sure.
Where you've made something that you thought was awesome and people go, yeah, it's cool. I'm just going to sell it. So read your characters, figure out what's going on with them. Give them that cool factor. You kind of have to know who you're playing with. And if it's something that they want, then you should be able to make a magic item for that. If not, use whatever's out of the book.
Yep.
Because if they're just going to sell it anyway, then don't spend all that time.
Yeah. Just provide them with something vanilla that they can sell.
Absolutely.
Or just give them the money.
Yeah, just give them cold, hard cash.
Everybody loves gold.
I want gold coins in my purse. Okay, finally, And I think this is one of the biggest rules as well. If you provide a magic item in your game, it should, just like if you provide a spell in your game, it should be something the characters could also create in their downtime.
You know me, I'm 100% about this. As far as traps, spells, magic items, if it was capable of being made, then it is still capable of being made, unless there is a storyline specifically that prohibits it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, you go back to, like, Karsus trying to become the god of magic and all that stuff in Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Artifacts are off the table.
Right.
But anything that's like a common, uncommon magic item, even rare stuff, very rare, you should be able to make that stuff in the game. Might be hard, might take a while. That's fine. Should be producible.
Right.
Because you've obviously introduced it into the game. And if that is true, what else is true?
Yeah. Now, they will need to find a recipe or do a certain amount of research.
Oh, we'll get to all that, sir. Yes. Yeah. We got some creation ideas as well. And some of these you guys will know, but we've just kind of condensed them into stuff that makes sense. Okay. So we've given you some basic rules in terms of what you should do when creating magic items. So let's actually make a custom magic item. What do we got? What's involved in that, Matt?
Well, the first thing you have to decide is, what are you making?
Yeah. Sword.
Is it a weapon? Is it clothing? Is it a miscellaneous item? Is it a cheeseburger that regrows every day?
It's like, always wondrous in my head. Everything I make is a wondrous magical item.
99% of mine as well.
Yes. It needs a description.
It does.
And I would say the more emphasis on the description, the more important it is to players. Now, we mentioned in previous episodes, the more you talk about something, the more they get that it must be important to you, thus important.
Possibly important to them.
Yeah, important right. to them. Because the DM's really going into description about this. I bet it must be something great. It could be a cheeseburger. Doesn't matter.
This is either amazing or it's dangerous. We need to decide.
Yeah, so fit your emphasis on the description appropriately, right? If it's something that's very rare, make it more interesting than something that's common.
Sure. What's the story behind this custom magic item? If there's a custom magic item that is not out of the DMG, your players, or, you know, whatever your source book is, your players are probably aware of what's available as far as magic items are concerned. And so they're going to want to know what the story is here.
They're going to want to identify some kind of legend lore, alchemist with a whole bunch of, you know, utensils and an identifying book of some sort.
Sure. They're commune. There's a lot of ways to find out information about a thing. If you're making a thing, you probably should make some information about the thing.
Yep. And again, more description equals more powerful or more interesting.
Yep.
Is it for a specific insert criteria, right? So in a specific class of...
Right, like dwarven throwers, or as far as classes go, if it's full plate, well, it's probably...
The wizard's probably not wearing it.
Right. Is it evil, right? Is it good?
Yeah, what kind of alignment does it have? What's its mental state or your mental state to use it?
Yeah, like what if you've got a halberd that only produces its magical effect when you're raging? Mm-hmm. Well, that basically makes it a barbarian weapon.
Or a wand of healing that only works if you feel pure joy.
That seems not super useful.
No, that'd be it.
Usually if you... Need I'm to having heal a somebody.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm having a great day, man. You look like shit.
It's my birthday.
That would be
cure
terrible.
Light wounds.
That'd be a terrible. I'm making that magic item now. That's great. Yeah. So if it's for a specific thing, it's something only used by elves or what have you, then cool. That's something that could. And the reason we mention this is that in many guides, that decreases the amount of time it takes to make the magic item.
Right.
But it might also be more available because it's specific.
Sure. If you are in an elven kingdom that is at war, they might very intentionally limit the magic items they're producing to elves only, to prevent, you know, someone murdering one of their elves and then taking their magic weapons and turning around and using them against, you know, having them used against them.
Which I find always interesting, because I would assume that if anybody can use it, it would take less time.
Sure.
And the reason behind that is because I why would I ever want to create something that anybody else can use? I'm only going to create magic items that only I can use.
Well, that health wand is going to suck for you if you get knocked out and your party can't use it.
Right. Well, okay, fair enough. But you get what I'm saying. Like, for the majority of magic items, why wouldn't you impose that? If you're, like you said, if you're at war with a whole bunch of elves, you know, I don't want those dirty elves getting their hands on my magic items. I'm going to make them for stuff other than elves.
Right.
So that they can't, you know, kill me, take my magic items off my cold corpse, and go slay my friends.
Well, let's face
it. They'll do it too. Those elves, they'll get you.
It's true, but let's face it. If an elf stole your magic item and stole your portion of the loot, they've got far more to worry about from your friends than your friends have to worry about from them.
That's a good point. Because my friends will take that loot.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. All loot is party loot.
Meanwhile, my corpse is slowly stiffening and cooling, mist rising from the open wounds, and they're like, "You just took our loot."
Hey, look, I'm just saying.
I know where priorities.
If I don't have a revivify, then that dude's got to be murdered, right?
Like, I totally understand.
We got to use your loot to have you resurrected anyway.
Murder him with my loot. Yes. That's what I would demand.
Choke him to death with a bag of holding.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does the magic item, or we're veering far off track, does the magic item have any particular quirks?
I like quirks.
Does it glow?
Does it hum?
Is there something spicy in the air whenever you wave it around?
And see, I like that one. I'm a five senses person.
Oh yeah. Like,
does it have a visual? Does it have an audible? Does it have, what is the correct word for smell?
Olfactory.
Olfactory. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Does it have a taste? Does it have a touch sensation? Like, does it cool the air around it just because you unsheathed it?
You'll see in some magic item descriptions that they will describe, like, how cold it is, or whether it's warm to the touch, or even it has a rough texture. I don't see many smells in magic item creation, and I think we should implement that more, because that's something, smell obviously is triggered by memory, and that's something that I think we should explore more in creating magic items. Like, imagine you pick up this, it's a holy weapon, and it smells of metal, but it also smells of maybe sage or some kind of incense that the priesthood uses.
Sure. A lightning weapon should smell of ozone.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that that makes things blow up should smell of cordite and goblins.
Or gnomes.
Yeah. No, gnomes or goblins. I'll go with that. So think about what kind of quirks it might have. And by the way, this could also include, is the weapon intelligent? Because that's certainly a quirk.
You know what I've never seen? I have never seen a stupid magic weapon.
Oh, you're right. Why don't we have more stupid magic weapons?
And I need to make a stupid magic weapon.
We've got next episode. We've got some dumb magic items we're going to come up with. So there you go. There's one of yours. Is a stupid magic item.
Thud, the club of sundering.
Yes, I love this. You know what I want? I want a magic weapon that, I don't know what I want, really.
You just want another completely random.
I just want something random, yes. All right.
Oh, you know what you need?
What do I need?
You need a box with, like, one of the dynamite plungers on it.
Okay.
But a magic surge table. Literally, you just hit the plunger, wild magic.
I get behind that.
Just
just this press button. Yeah. In case of emergency, press button.
Sure.
Yeah, love that. Finally, is it cursed? Is there something detrimental about a magic item, even if it is useful? And we mentioned this a little bit earlier. Throw that in, right? Is there a detriment? There doesn't have to be, but again, flavor.
Yeah. If you were swinging a battle axe, and that battle axe, every time you hit, cost you a hit point, mm-hmm. but dealt 4 extra points of damage. I'm using that thing. If I've got healing available, I'm all over that.
What's the spoon that made gruel in second and third?
M-U-R, the gruel spoon.
Yes, the gruel spoon. That's what we're calling it. What if it produces nourishing gruel 3-4 times a day, like it normally does, but it makes your mouth blue?
Sure.
Detrimental, might give you a minus to charisma, but also amusing.
Right.
So think about that. We've got a couple of rules to spiff these magic items up as well.
Or what if it's you can eat it every day, but if you eat it every day for a week, you begin starving.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or have like horrible diarrhea.
Sure. That's for Rise of the Demon Lords or something.
Sure. Shadow of the Demon Lord.
Yeah.
Shadow. Yeah. Everything just causes horrible diarrhea. Shadow of the Demon Lord. All right. So finally, you've set your heart out to create a magic item. We've given you a little bit of these base rules, but let's go ahead and spiff up magic creation. And this can be not just your magic item, but magic item creation overall. And we've got a couple of ways by which we can really make interesting magic items. Now, some of these you've heard.
Right.
But we'll go into depth a little bit more than what you might think. So, for example, monster parts. Let's talk about monster parts, because I don't know about you, but every time I kill something, I'm taking a little vial of something. My character always does this. It is every character I've had has done this. I know.
You know I'm a harvester. I believe in it.
And I love the idea of parts of monsters becoming formula for either spells or for magic items. I think that's a wonderful way to, because you could, yeah, I can make a magic item, but I just saved myself 3 weeks of time because I got this Eye of Beholder.
Right. If I'm making a staff that has disintegrate in it, and I snag the disintegrate eye from a beholder,
mm-hmm.
that should 100% decrease the time and cost for making that item.
Now, if you remember, various editions, I believe third certainly did, and I think maybe fourth might have had it as well, but the minor magic effects that were enhanced when you used...
If you had a...
certain components.
If you had a dragon's tooth and turned it into a weapon, it did plus 1 point of damage of whatever... red dragon, it did 1 fire damage, black dragon, acid, et cetera, et cetera.
That's very specific. I didn't know that.
Yes. And if you made armor or a shield out of it,
it took off a little bit of damage.
It subtracted 1 point of, it was basically 1 point of resistance for whatever that type of damage was. And it was additive to the other resistances.
That's interesting. So I like this idea. If you're making a custom magic item, this is perfect for a storyteller. If you use X, Y, and Z ingredients of said monster or various monsters, then it might enhance the effect of the magic item, which would be cool.
Sure.
And it could be minor enhancement, like a plus one or plus two or whatever. Or it could just take it a lot.
It could give it an extra charge. It could, you can definitely.
Or you could recharge it.
Sure.
So imagine a magic item that is poison damage. And it can only be recharged by dipping it in the blood of a green dragon.
That makes sense to me. I'm for that. It would have to be, for me, it would have to be something that was, once again, worth the cost.
Yeah, how much is it worth versus making it? Most likely, the decrease of time for most of these would be very beneficial.
Right.
And that would be great for an adventure, too, because let's say you've got a bunch of characters. They want to up their magic item skills, or they want to just re-gear themselves, go out and adventure, harvest some monsters. Now you've killed 6 months' time, especially in 5th edition. It takes forever to make a magic item.
40 years. 40 years for a legendary item.
Yeah. I'm not going to have my care. We have never, ever...
Unless I'm playing an all-elf party.
I have never played a campaign where we've had that much downtime in between games.
No.
Ever.
And if you've got 4 people in the party and literally everybody helps, that's still 10 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against it. If
you should be.
If I'm trying to make impenetrable armor and we go out and we murder the Tarrasque and we somehow magically skin it before it dissipates and reforms on another primaterial plane, then by God, that should kill at least, 30 of those 40 years.
It better. Yeah.
And then you've got to figure out what type of metal you're going to make the rivets out of to put that shit together, because that's going to be serious.
Now, this rule of spiffing up magic item creation, I really like, and I know that you are a big proponent of this as well.
Yes. And that's the recipes for making magical items should be optional loot.
Yes.
That should, whatever it is, right? If you've got people in your party that are interested in making their own magic items or making custom magic items, then you give them formulas to create magic items and then decrease the amount of time it takes for them to work out what the rest of the formula is, mm-hmm. right? Go back to the, I give them a burning brand formula, but they want to make it lightning or what have you. Then, okay, it's still 4/5 of the way done for you. Now you only have to do 1/5 of the research to tweak it from fire to lightning.
And this can be anything from stuff like golem creation manuals to, I would even say, epic loot could be something like making a legendary item.
Sure.
It can be alchemical ingredients.
It could. Now, and one of the things I like about the concept of giving out an epic or a legendary item, right, is now what you have is a set of adventures to go on to collect everything that's necessary to put this together. I want to make a legendary item in this lifetime. So this shopping list, this scavenger hunt worth of stuff is going to make this a reasonable item to put together.
Now, a lot of people are thinking, yeah, but no one's going to go scavenge and hunt for my stuff. Okay, but what if it's a shared magic item amongst the group? I'll give you a perfect example. What if it's an airship?
Sure.
Airship's a huge magic item.
Yep.
And maybe you start with let's say you're mid-level in your game, you start with a broken airship. Maybe only part of it works. And now the rest of the series of adventures are to spiff up this airship so that you can become pirates of the skies.
Yeah.
And so you go monster hunting to find specific, pieces to repair it with. You go and find formulas to add on. Maybe you need to fix something or upgrade it.
Yeah.
This is a great adventure. Just fix, working on your ship.
Yep.
Or your house. You could have like a base of operations and it could be a gigantic magic item.
There was a video game where you started off and your airship was attacked by something and it was basically like a survival type.
Final Fantasy?
No. It wasn't. It was Ars Magica or something like that, which I know is also the name of a book, but it's something in that realm. But
I believe you. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I believe you.
That could be a fun... You're on a lost continent, right? You're on a large island that your airship got shot down over. Hey, congratulations. Welcome to a whole new world.
Well, it was it. The Strongholds book had a lot of rules in 3rd edition about upgrading your castle or your keep. I mean, there was one where you could literally make a floating castle.
Sure.
Or have guards and wards on the entire several set of levels and stuff like that. Like, that kind of stuff, for player characters, they may never go to their base of operations except during downtime. But it's something I know that my player characters love.
But if their base of operations travels, then
Well, you guys had an airship at one point in the pirate campaign, and you
Well, we started off with a ship, and that was our base of operation.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, was it the Morticia? What was that called? The boat, but I don't,
I don't remember what it was called, but I think the Morticia was one of them, but yeah, and it was just a straight up ship. It couldn't fly, couldn't do anything, but you guys hardened the wood, you upgraded it, you made the sails. I can't remember what the magic item is, but it's the one that
the Everfull sails.
The Everfull sails, yeah. All that stuff. And, I mean,
it was
part
ludicrous.
Of your loot went to the ship.
Oh, yeah.
All and everybody was adamant about it, which I thought was really cool. It's something that the players can share.
Yes.
And we also mentioned, you know, we talked about monster parts and stuff like that. I love the idea of some of the formulas can include stuff like strange dirt or rare flowers. I thought that was really cool of you to add.
Yeah, just any, I also like events, right? Like, celestial events or specific times of day or night or what have you, right? Locations.
Locations are great. So maybe you can only forge the magic item in a specific area, or it needs to become infused with a location. So the power of maybe a planar rift might charge it. And again, this could speed up the time it takes to create your magic item. I could easily see something like a teleportation ring or something with ties to the astral.
Yeah.
You go to the astral and make it.
Yeah.
And
that
then,
makes sense.
Or you charge it under the astral. So think of ways that you can do, instead of just the usual, I spend 2 months of downtime to make my whatever it is, make it an adventure to create.
I mean, if you're not making your staff of necromancy and a catacombs, what are you even doing with your life?
Yeah, exactly. Make magic items enhance other magic items.
Yep.
That's another thing that's lots of fun. The docents in Eberron, or the weapon crystals and armor crystals that
and
many
3.5,
games have. Yeah. Those are great. They enhance other magic items. You just add on to it. What a great idea.
Or enhance an item in general. It doesn't even have to be a magic item. If it's lower powered, like let's say you made, go back to the red dragon tooth dagger, right? Mm-hmm. What if you made a pommel of red dragon tooth and it's screwed into a weapon and it provides one point of fire damage to whatever weapon it's screwed into. Anything that can take a pommel.
Yeah, now you have two fire damage.
If you put it on one that's already got it, sure. But if you don't, you know, let's say you're dual wielding, right? Your cut of the loot was only one dragon tooth, but somebody had some left over. All right, now I got a fiery axe and a fiery sword.
Yeah, it's great for low-powered campaigns. And again, it makes use of the stuff that you have. You're living in a fantasy world. Why not make the monster parts or the locations, as you mentioned, or even just the material from the earth magical as well?
I enjoy the concept of sympathetic magic.
Speaking of which, we come to the next one. Sacrifices can remove time or enhance the effect of magic items. Now, we say sacrifices doesn't have to be we're stabbing some guy. It could.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it definitely can.
Yeah.
But it also could be
personal sacrifice.
Personal sacrifices. And one of the ones I mentioned was, let's say you want to enhance this magic knife and you burn a portrait or a photo of yourself from childhood and it is gone forever. Or let's go fey. You give up a memory of your childhood and it enhances the magic item. How cool is that shit?
Okay, so when I was a child and into adulthood, because I still can make balloon animals, but when I was a child, I loved balloons. Imagine if I sold the whole concept of balloons to a fae.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it has...
He knows all about balloon animals now.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't.
And he gives you a magic item.
Right. What can I get? What knowledge do I gain that is the trade for that?
It could be anything.
Sure.
That's a great story. And again, this is what we're talking about. Making these magic items interesting again.
Yeah. Knowledge for knowledge, power for power.
And I'm going to follow that up with a final note, which is maybe these magic items are created by specific individuals, specific characters. Could be only created by dwarves, right?
Sure.
Or only created by someone of a particular alignment, or you mentioned this skill.
Yeah.
You know, you could only, that you've got to have somebody of skill to make this thing. Not every schmuck can do it.
Like, also religion, the old 3.5 type relics. But if there's something called a Dawn Cloak, probably only going to be made by someone who follows a sun god.
Yep. So these are just a couple of ideas. And again, we haven't exhausted all of them. Some of these you've probably have heard of before. We just cast them in a different light. But hopefully this will allow you to create unique and, more importantly, flavorful magic items.
Yep. And the great thing about creating custom magic items is they can be a story in and of themselves.
That is true. Hopefully you've found this interesting. If you have, write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach eric@goblinscorner.com.
Or matt@goblinscorner.com.
We always enjoy your feedback.
And, of course, you can always reach us on Twitter.
Facebook.
And you can comment on Instagram.
You can, in fact, comment on Instagram. We're on Twitch.
True.
God knows what else. We're on everything.
Yep. Who knows? By the time this is out, we could be on the moon.
I would like that.
Let's aim for that.
Okay, I'm down with that. That's all the time we have for today. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
Stay tuned to next week.
Have a good night. In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon. Bop, 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 bop.